Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 216. This is the conclusion. This is part two to works. Today is Sunday, October 16th, 2011.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, you come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, you're going to want to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify the household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. When you get to Pastor Paul's, you're going to see a lot of people, a lot of food. There's food outside that is on the curb. You can help yourself to that. There's bread, usually cases of perishable vegetables. When you get inside, you're going to see Pastor Paul, who's selling food very inexpensively for $1, $2 for a case of vegetables, a case of juice, like that. You're going to see a counter where you're going to register for groceries. So come on over to the counter and just let us know that you are new, and we will get you a form to get you started. You're also going to see all of the food that we give away, lots of perishable foods, lots of frozen foods, free breads, juices. So be prepared to carry a lot of food. Register for Pastor Paul's Club and be sure to ask about the VIP Club. This month is the month of October. Here is the lineup for Pastor Paul's podcast. Don't faint. Works. You got to have faith. Pray and see. Those are the messages for the month of October. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. You're going to want to go to the show notes, which is at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of the scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his messages. Have a great month of October. Minnesota right now is absolutely beautiful. God bless you.
And also I have to mention, nothing is good work unless it is done with a good motive. What's your motive in doing it? Some time back here, I think early spring, we had the, what was the picnic we had? The Memorial Day picnic. Okay, then we thought, well, no, there is nothing that we can have the picnic with. We'll probably have near 6,000 people there, and we got to feed them all, and we're all out of beef and so on like that. And I prayed about it, and I was down there with Janine, and we prayed about it. Carolyn and I said, hey, I said, if we're to have this picnic, God will bring the food in. And I dispelled. I forgot all about it because we had other things that were pressing. We only had a few days to put the flyers out. You remember that? Only a couple of days. And it takes like a week with bulk mailing. 10 days sometimes. And so about 2 or 3 days before, the guy calls up from the Coliseum. He says, hey, seems like a man was going to have a bicycle marathon to raise money. That was a good idea. But only one person showed up, himself. And there are 5,400 sandwiches down here, ham sandwiches. 5,500 orange and grape drinks. 5,500 individual pies. 5,500 little raisin packages of goodies. On some various other things. And I said, my God, there's our picnic. Oh, can you use them? Now, he had called several places I won't mention. Oh, can you use 5,500 of these goodies? We were going to have a bicycle marathon. We were going to have it over in Spain where the rain falls mainly on the plain. No, we can't use that. We don't have any kind of space for it. What would we do with 5,500 raisin kits and individual pies and ham sandwiches and drinks? So he called another place. Can you use 5,500 sandwiches? We were going to have a bicycle marathon over in Spain where the rain falls mainly on the plain. And his answer was, burr. And so he called us. And he said, could you use 5,000? Now listen to this. This is a beautiful thing. 5,500 ham sandwiches. 5,500 individual raisin packets. And my mind is 5,500 individual pies. 5,500 drinks, grape and orange. I said, yes, we can. I didn't hear anything. I think the guy passed out. And so we had a picnic. Now listen, this is beautiful. We had a picnic, and there was 5,415 people at the picnic. There were 200 P-9ers there to serve the people. And do you know why the 200 P-9ers were there? Because they got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit at a union meeting that I was at, and I got to lead them to the Lord. And a Christian come along, and he says, how come these P-9ers are here? And I said, oh my, these people are the works of God. They all got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm standing here talking to you, and they're doing all the work. Now, isn't that a fright? Isn't that beautiful? Now, if you would have taken the same thing and went around and sold the idea, here, we're going to have a bicycle marathon, a great big seminar before we go on the bicycle marathon, and we're going to go to Spain where the rain falls mainly on the plain, and here are some pictures of it. Isn't this beautiful? Notice the greenery, and notice the mountains, and notice the streams, and know all the people, and so on like that. How many of you think people do you think would finish that marathon? Things are not what they seem to be. They'd bike for a while, and the first mountain, a bunch of them would give up, wouldn't they? And then they'd bike up a little further, and they'd run into some rocks and some crags, and they'd give up, and people would fall out. Either you're called to a good work or you're not called to a good work. Say amen, somebody. But we had the picnic. The point is, and now we knew it was of God. Now, what are we going to do? We got to get the flyers out. There's 500 and there's 5,500 people on our flyers. We got to get the flyer out. Can you do it, post office? Well, no. It usually takes it'll take 5 days. Normally, it takes 10 days. Well, praise God, we'll bring them down there. And if he can do it, I'll try it. Well, but if not, that's okay too. But we're going to bring them down. The next day, the people had the flyers overnight. Doesn't that say something? Now you know that it's a good work called to God. Whew. Isn't that exciting? Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, there is no motive which we can call good unless it is done for the glory of God. Are you hindered by others' actions? Are you hindered by someone's face? Did you realize you can get hindered by people's faces? Now, preachers, you know what I'm talking about. You look out into audiences, man, they're meaner than hell itself sometimes. Say amen, somebody. You look out into audiences, and they are not receiving, and they are mean. Do they hinder your ministry or your working for God? Person asked me the other day, they says, how do preachers take it? I mean, they have to put up with people all of the time. Well, I says, they shouldn't be putting up with them. What do you mean, putting up with them? God is the one that has to put up with them. Praise God. I said, these preachers should give these people to God. How many are hearing this today? See, if it's really at work, you're not concerned with people's faces. You're not concerned about what people say or what they don't say or what they do or they don't do. Because, see, you've been called to do that work and there's no excuses. God will make the sandwiches. God will bring in the fruit pies. God will bring in the orange juice and the grape juice. God will bring in the raisin goodies. God will get the mail out on time. And some people say, well, that's not a miracle. Tell us a miracle. Are you hindered by others' actions? Are you hindered because someone isn't as involved as you are? And then those who perform good works with a view to save themselves. See, they do it with no good motive, but a selfish motive. Because, see, he who does good work for the esteem of his fellow man, or for the good of society even, which is good as far as man is concerned, is really a very inferior motive. Now, you may find yourself frustrated. Then, you know what? Why get frustrated? Others, for the most part, don't care about any of your good works. They don't care. And by the way, good works are never followed by a consistent bad attitude. How many know you do have bad attitudes? Anybody in here have a bad attitude this week? Okay, we'll say this month. Okay, let's say this year. In the whole of their lifetime. I have bad times. I have bad attitudes. But they can't be consistent. Oh, why don't these people do this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that? It's a bad attitude, and that's all right to have that, but don't have it all the time. Does your mom have bad attitudes once in a while? Yeah, but why does she have bad attitudes? Gotcha. Huh? But we all have bad attitudes, don't we? One day, our children are very, very sweet, and the next day, their parents are ignoramuses. It's true, isn't it? We have bad attitudes. All of us do. But the point is that we recognize that and they're not consistent. Now, just try and do a little good work with a consistent bad attitude. Do you ever try to do a good work with a bad attitude? Huh? Have you ever tried to do a good work with a consistent bad attitude? Now, sometimes we know we got a bad attitude when we're going into a good work. Hi. Sort of a grit your teeth type thing. We know that. And that's beautiful. I've even had people say, you know what, I'm not with it. I am a stinker today. I said, well, we can pray about it, and if that doesn't work, then go home. You mean prayer doesn't work? Well, then God has to deal after the prayer. See, we got it so mixed up. We just claim things. I claim a good attitude. That doesn't work always. Does it? Does it? You know, you have days when you're just a stinker, right? Isn't that right, George? George? Huh? Isn't that right, Jim? Isn't that right? I don't want to get you guys in a bind here, but isn't it right? Isn't that true? You mean June has days when she's got bad attitudes? You do, don't you? Right? Right. We all do, don't we, June? Every one of us have days when we have bad attitudes, but they can't be consistent because that's not consistent with good works. You can't have a bad attitude consistently and get into the good works because it won't work. Will not, cannot, is doomed for failure from the very beginning. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing me at all on the radio? Were you crying? You got tears all over my shirt, June. I didn't offend you, did I? You got touched, didn't you? See, if it's for our fellow man, then let them pay us for it. Hey, I did something for you. I want some money. But see, that has nothing to do with God. Four people came to me the other day and says, why are you giving out this food? I said, I'm going to tell you guys something. And they turned out they were real sweet. I got to minister to them. But they didn't understand. Why are you giving out this food? And I said, I'm going to tell you something. I've never told anybody. And they sort of creeped in real close. I said, there is a lot of money in it. Brothers, sisters, I had their full and undivided attention, let me tell you. Because I was telling them something that they really had suspected all along. Am I making myself crystal clear here today? By God, I hope I am. And I saw within myself the very same thing that I was dealing with. What's your motive for doing this? Don't we all think that? Isn't it great when the only motive is to glorify God? I mean, work is not good unless a man does it in view of God's glory. And no man can do it with a view of God's glory until God has taught him what his glory really is. What is the glory of God, man? You are God's glory. I glory in you. Glory to God in the highest is you glorifying God in your body. That is the highest form of glory you can give to God, to give your body. Hallelujah. See, we glory God in our life, our job, our acquaintances, our life. Now I have to ask a question here. What, right now, add it up, what will your life be when you come to that great white throne of judgment, not for sin, but for what did you do? For His glory. Then also this man must be under subjection to God's will, so that his eye is always on the Most High God, and that he works in order to promote God's glory and honor, it says, in this present evil world. But also, it must be done in faith. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. Oh, there's faith destroyers out there, though, aren't there? They're always present. What's a faith destroyer? Doubt. That can destroy your faith, can it? Fears, evil questionings, people-pleasing, flesh-preserving. Have you ever tried to preserve your flesh while you're doing a work for God? And so like Cain, we present our fruits and our first fruits of the earth upon the altar. It may even look like it's an acceptable sacrifice, but it isn't. See, because without the salt of faith, the Bible says, it will just lie there. And you know when it just lies there, what happens to a sacrifice? When it just lies there, it draws flies and maggots, and it'll stink to high heaven, the Bible says. See, all the rich of the world who have built the colleges and have their names on the colleges, and all the places you can have your little plaque put on, so-and-so donated to this, and so-and-so has a brick in that, and so-and-so put in this cement, and that in itself isn't always wrong. But if we're doing it from a wrong motive and a wrong attitude so that we can be seen of man, maybe we'll get into financing a hospital. Maybe you've done a whole lot, you listening out there, and you're not born again yet. Maybe you've done a whole lot for charity work. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, that good works that you've done, as far as God is concerned, they stink. But next, we should have faith in God and perform all of our good works with the best of motives. And I think it still must have the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled on it before we can call it good. Without the blood covenant, without the covering of Jesus Christ's blood, oh yes, it may be good. Yes, the Spirit put it on our soul, but still there is much evil about it. And I think even at best, many of our works are spoiled and marred and ruined by sins and imperfections that are in them. See, we can't call them good till the blood of Jesus Christ is sprinkled on them and taken away the stain of it. I preach, but how much do I do solely for the Lord's glory? Even soul winning has some evil motives in it. I caught myself years ago, I was into soul winning and I was competing with someone. Well, I got 15 souls. Oh, 15 will get you 20. 20 will get you 25. And I got into a competing with a person for saving souls. Oh, he saved us. And that in itself isn't evil. But yet my motives and my desires were evil, and I was mad at this guy because he saved so many more souls than I did, maybe. So I'd go out and say, save some more souls, and pretty near kill people in the process of getting them saved. What good is it to bring the harvest in if you just, you know, cut it down and bring it in. Bring it in the sheaves. Bring it in the top. How many know? A lot of times what we call good works got a bad motive, bad attitude behind them. Yes, brothers and sisters, you listen to me today. Even in our holiest work, some evil creeps in. Some of our own selfishness. And I'm sure we can all sit down and check out the stitches of our good works and find that a lot of them have come unraveled. There are so many soils on them that the blood of Jesus Christ can only make them good, and praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ. I know I haven't got a whole lot of good works myself. I imagine there's a few. But I got to just praise God today and thank the Lord. He accepts my works through Christ. So they're all accepted in the Beloved. And it says in the Bible, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made me accepted in the Beloved. And so all of those things that I do, God will make them right. God will cover those wrong attitudes. God covers all those wrong motives. And when, you know, Jesus covers these all, and I'm talking about our God now. When it's all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, they're accepted by and in the Beloved. God accepts them. I accept this sacrifice. I accept this work. Why? Because it's all filtered down and all the chaff is burned off and all the chaff is lifted up and the wind of the Holy Spirit has blown it away. And glory to God, only those good things remain. Aren't you glad for the blood covenant of Jesus Christ that washes away all those sins and the blood covenant, glory to God, and the wind of the Holy Spirit that blows that threshing floor clean and bare, hallelujah, and leaves those few precious seeds right there. And that's all you need is a handful to go on and reap a harvest. Are you hearing this? Now for the moralists that might be listening. I think a lot of times when we call ourselves the moralists, we have trusted in ourselves that we are righteous, we are moral. I think moral majority are neither. I think moral majority are neither. Neither moral or majority outside of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way you can be considered moral. And that's the only way you are a majority when you have Jesus. And you can be one man with Jesus and have a majority. I mean, good works and sinners are nothing but splendid sins. Now, I know I'm putting my foot into the middle of the arena here. My God, if we're not in the middle of the arena, if we're not in the middle of the battle, if we're not ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ over good works of the flesh, then there's something got to be wrong. Well, you say, where do these good works come from? The scripture says human nature is altogether vile. Exceeding. And it says exceedingly vile. Oh, man, now you're just going to slay us with the ending, closing statements now. You can't expect good works from an evil nature. Bible says, can a bitter well give sweet water? And never expect some good works coming from the natural man. It is impossible. Even when we were not born again, we did things for our kids. We did things for our kids so that we would be lifted up. Notice how he dresses his children. Now, don't get all dirty. What will people ever think of me? Well, I got an answer here. Good works come from a real conversion brought about by the Spirit of God. And until our conversion, there is not a shadow of goodness about us. Not one shadow. The world may see you out there, and maybe you're not born again. They may see you as respectable and kind and considerate and reputable. But God doesn't see you that way at all. And I'll tell you one thing. If we could look into our own hearts today, it would change our minds about good works. Like the things we eat. I seen a thing on TV and it showed a picture of the things you eat. And this was, they just cut the fruit and they just cut everything and they just fried the meat and they put the glass, the microscope down on top of it, and it was full of oozing. And these are very powerful magnifying devices, and it showed stuff just oozing up out of that. And I'm not trying to kill your appetite. Oozing up out of these things. And if you could, now they've even got cameras that can get on your body and it shows little bugs all over your body. They're so small that you can't see them. And until late, you didn't even know they were there. But now they have magnifying glasses. What are all of those little animals doing crawling all over your body? They're grooming you. Huh? See if you've seen everything as it really is. You couldn't take it. If you could see your own heart as it really is, with all the maggots and the worms and the things that are in that evil, vile, exceedingly vile heart, you couldn't take it. So God doesn't show you your exceeding vileness. He says, look on to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, because you can't stand to look on your heart, baby. Is there anyone in here that would like to see their heart in totality? Totally see it? You listening on the radio, and especially you self-righteous ones, is there anyone out there that would like... Now, I can arrange it. I can arrange it. Yes, yes. We have news that just came in that there is a heart examiner. Jesus sees your heart. Jesus sees my heart, and he looks past that. Because, see, the Bible says love overlooks all things, bears all things, endures all things, never takes into account a wrong suffered, isn't jealous, doesn't do a whole lot of bragging, but is kind and considerate, patient, forbearing. And now we're talking about human love. How much more the love of God? I'll put within you a new heart and a right spirit. And when you meet me, you'll become like me. Why do you have to become like Jesus? Because you couldn't stand all of his glory, that's why. You'll be made into the complete image of the Son. And you'll be made that way because you can't stand the glory of God. You wouldn't be able to stand in the presence of God in your own evil nature. And when you leave here, you're going to leave with the same evil nature. Or you'll be changed, you'll be brought in, but you can't take any of the credit. You want to know why? You can't take any of the credit? Because God is the one that foreordained you'd be that way. And he made every one of us the same. The drunk laying down right now, probably whilst I'm ministering, laying down in the gutter down there somewhere. Maybe he's on Cedar Avenue. Maybe he's up on Franklin Avenue. Maybe he's got a nose that would put some of the comedians to shame. One of these great big old red pot-marked noses. Maybe he's laying down there. You know what? He has the very same heart you do. Maybe that whore that's listening to me on the radio right now, huh? She has the very same heart that I have, the very same one. Maybe you're in prison right now, you're listening to me. Maybe you're a murderer. My tapes go into prisons. Maybe you're a murderer. They'll go over to Africa. Maybe you're sitting over there in Africa somewhere, and you've committed crimes. You have the same heart that I have. And God will accept you just like he accepts me, with a maggoty, old, fly-ridden, cockroach-infested, vile, exceedingly vile heart. Are you hearing this today? Let me close it up. And so it is when once the heart is put under the microscope of the Scriptures, and we see it with the spiritual eye. You remember when you first seen your own heart with a spiritual eye? Maybe that's why some of you listening got self-righteous, because you're trying to hide something. You can't hide your heart. It'll beat all the louder whilst you're talking. It'll bounce right out of your chest and right out of your breast. It'll bounce right out of there. Hey, the grace we first received is not sufficient for right now. You that have been born again for a while, we must grow, it says, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what you do when you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? God told me the other day, he says, I'm growing fruit. He says, I have a fruit tree right inside of my heart. I have a revelation that I have a tree, a fruit, and you can come and eat of what I have. No, I says, that's not the way it is. See, the sap comes up from the root, Jesus Christ, and we are not trees by ourselves, but the Bible calls us the branches grafted in on the living vine. So we got to give all the glory to God. You can't learn enough to grow your own fruit tree, brother. No, no, no. You can't come in and say, come partake of me because I have all the fruit. No, 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 you can't do that. See, I said, your good works come because they're floating down on the streams of grace. And if I did not have that stream flowing I went on, hey, There would be no good works coming out of me at all. It flows by and flows right through me. And it says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living waters. See, good works, I said, come from an individual, the creature, I said, it's impossible. Good works are the gifts of God. And I said, went on, and I'll close this up. I'm closing. Don't get anxious. And so because we are grafted in, because we are united with Christ, that makes us holy. That makes us acceptable in the Beloved. What is the use of these good works? Well, I'm going to give you a couple things here you can leave here with. It's an exercise of grace. It exercises your grace. God gives it to you so you can exercise the grace of God. It's all an exercise of God's grace, these good works. And God exercises His grace through you, and these good works flow through you. And the Bible says, out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Rivers of living water. It's an evidence of Christ Jesus in us. It's a fulfillment of the law. It's the end of the law. It's a fulfillment of the law. Hallelujah. And when sin is overcome and thrown out, we see God's grace coming through, and God's throne. And so we might go through terrible trials. You listening on the radio right now, maybe you're going through a terrible trial, a terrible, terrible tribulation in your own life right now. Keep on and keeping on, and you'll soon see the glory of God and grace working through your life. God didn't say sit down. God didn't say give up. God says, hey, this is an opportunity for my grace to flow through you right now. I'm going to come. I am a stream. I am the river of life. You are a tree that's planted by that well of plenty. Hallelujah. And if you'll just stay there, and if you'll stay, my streams will come out of your innermost being, will flow those rivers of living water, and I'll get the grace, and I'll get the glory. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing right now. God is going to get the glory out of you. Stand in that tribulation. Stand in that trial. Stand in that sickness. Stand in that suffering. Stand in that healing. Everything preaches for God. Did you know today, whilst you were sitting there, you were preaching for God? Well, I didn't preach. You preach for God. See, preaching is in the practice. Preaching is in the works. You don't have to get up and preach like I'm preaching right here. See, preaching is in the practice. So what you practice preaches. And even the world says, practice what you preach. Your lives are preaching. Every time you get up in the morning and you go to work, you're preaching a sermon to the world. The Bible says you are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. You are preaching a sermon every time you get up. You glorify God in your body. And your body, part of your mouth is your body. Your ears are your body, part of that body. Your eyes and your nose. And everything you do, when you pack grocery bags, you're glorifying God with your body by what you do. That's a preaching. That's a preaching put to work by an actual doing. I want everybody in here to be called a do-it person. Don't you want to be called a do-it? You're a do-it. So do it. Every time we go to work, we are practicing preaching. The preaching is in the practicing, not the practicing in the preaching. You don't have to be behind that pulpit. It's what you do that people remember. People remember what I was looking. Now this is the way my mind works. I was out there and I was looking at these people and I was taking photographs of them. And this one little lady, I'll never forget her because I took a mental photograph. She's always kind of happy, and she's probably about 80 years old. And she's a kind of a wiry little old gal. And she, well, okay, then let's get these bags over here. And so on like that. And I looked at her and I thought, God, she's got the most beautiful face. I'll never forget that picture. And I was taking pictures of each person down there. And I said, you know something? I'll never forget these people because every one of them are preaching by their works. And I'll never forget Jim's preaching. He doesn't have to say a word. When he's down there picking up these kettles and getting this soup on down there, Jim, that is the grace of God and giving glory to God by your preaching, by your actually doing. See, there's a whole lot of people that think their preaching is just by getting up and ministering or talking to others or going to seminars or being Mr. Big or Mrs. Big or whatever hasn't got a thing to do with it. It's actually that preaching isn't by what you do. Because faith without works, the Bible says, is most totally dead. When you're down on your job, Mick, you glorify God down there because this shop runs so well. And the boss comes in and he takes a mental picture of that. Well, it shows up on the chart. All your works. God sees. But I think the biggest phony in the world is somebody doesn't practice what he preaches. Because really the preaching is in the practicing. Or it's not practical. Not at all. Not at all. That was a great sermon that you gave when you were doing that piano up there. What do you call it? The synthesizer? Something you hadn't done before? Now you're growing in that? Well, that's preaching. By practice. And so people are confounded. Never thought Sue would be up there working that thing. She always had trouble with it. Why did Sue? By her own confession, she had trouble with it because she never did it. Now she's doing it, and it's a beautiful form of preaching by just doing it. Doing it. Physically, mentally being involved and doing it. It shows up. Shows up, doesn't it? When you raise your little kids and you raise your family, it shows up. That your preaching was not in vain. You listening in the world right now, you do a lot of things, and you don't know it, but you're preaching gospel by your practice. By what you practice, your kids see, and they pick up on that. If they can see their parents standing through all kinds of different difficulties, okay, you understand what I'm saying here? Or their father, or their mother, or their uncle, or their cousin, or somebody in the church, that is really a practicing preaching. I want to say, well, now, if that person can do it under those kinds of trials and those kind of conditions, then there's hope for me. What we do by our practice is give people hope. When we go down there on those runs, we give people hope. I guess there's a question that I have to ask here today. Is there anyone in here today that has not experienced the salvation of the Lord, hasn't come to know Jesus as their personal Savior? Anyone? Are you born again, son? Are you born again? Okay. You came to the right place. And I'm going to tell you something. You were a very avid listener. You listened. And you know who gave you understanding of this? Because, see, you were taking it in, you were understanding. You weren't so knowledgeable that you didn't receive anything that I had to say here. See, because you always can receive from each other, can't you? Hey, I can receive from anybody. Even in the Bible, it talks about, well, and I always say this. I say, I'm in between Billy Graham and God used a jackass one time. I'm in between somewhere in between there. God did use a jackass to preach with one time. But, you know, you had the decency and God gave you the grace to listen and to perceive and to understand that it's just God, isn't it? You understand that, see? How many of us have fallen away from our understanding, become weak in our understanding? Take my hand. I want you to pray with me and pray like this. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Can you pray that? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Come into my heart and save me and baptize me in God's Holy Spirit. And with a new language, I will praise your holy name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So glad you came to me. What's your name?
Edward.
Wow. Let's give a hand for Edward here. That is a miracle of miracles right there. How were you saved? By confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't ever get bored with that message. When it gets down to getting bored with the message of salvation, then hey, check it out. Right? Check it out. God bless all you people here today. I want to thank you. And all you people in the balcony up there, thousands of them are here today, radio audience. Come all the way down here into the ghetto. Oh my, praise the Lord. What are you doing this for, Pastor Paul? Well, for the glory of God, I have to check myself out every day. Why are you doing this? And be honest about it. When you get yourself right with a question, you know, when you question yourself and you examine, the Bible says, examine your own heart. And you say, ooh, wiggly worms and maggots and all kinds of microscopic, whoop. God, create in me a new heart for this day.
There you have it. The conclusion, episode 216. That was part two to works. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. And there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes there. And within those show notes are scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his messages. So be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. Next Friday, you've got to have faith, the name of the message, and you better have it. You better be here. If you're not all here, you're not all there. God bless you. You have to have a good week.
When the light